Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be here and have you here. Can you hear me well there in the back? Okay, good. Welcome to the church, and we are happy to have you here and worshiping and celebrating with us. One of the things I remember the most from this time of the year, from my childhood, it had to do with the decorations, the lights, and all this glimmering that people place in their houses. And I remember since I was very small that in our neighbor, people had lights just for decoration in Christmas. And the whole environment, the city and the neighborhood, everything changed. And because it was a time for celebration and being joyful and a lot of food and a lot of drink. And that's what I associate when this season, right? Most of the time, I kind of like the illumination, the festivity of the season. And I was reflecting the other day in this symbol and how a scripture, how the Bible presented today to us. You know, how do you perceive light? And today, I want to talk to you a little bit about what the Bible say in reference to light and use a few examples in there. How do you feel about the light? Do you enjoy it? Or you feel like you are more like a night person? Some people prefer to start the day really early, you know, wake up really. But other people start the day at night time. They enjoy the night more than. Had you met somebody like that? You know, yeah, it's like some people enjoy the night more than the day. During this time of the year, because the days are short, we have some challenges doing activities at church because some of you don't like to drive at night time. What is that? It's not because you don't see. I know you see. You can see. You can drive around. But maybe you don't feel comfortable driving at night time, right? You know, especially here in Aiken, in some sections of the city that they are not well illuminated, you need to be really, really extra careful. The other day, driving around my neighbor, I get a really scary moment when I almost hit somebody who was walking at the street for two reasons. One, we don't have sidewalks, so people is walking in the streets. And second, this person had like dark clothes, and so it's difficult to see people at night time, especially if you are wearing dark colors. So I was really afraid of almost having an accident with this person. And then I started thinking about you and saying, well, that's a good reason why you don't like to drive at night time. It's difficult to see here. The roads are not that big, and you encounter a few potholes in here that I hate. You know, how you encounter one of these? So I enjoy lights. I think lighting is a good thing for our life. So the Bible presents life in lighting in different ways. Somebody used to say that when we are small, we are afraid of the darkness. Was anyone here afraid of the darkness as a small child? In fact, I still being afraid of the darkness. My beautiful wife will tell you this because she played pranks on me. And it's true, you can ask her. She's here present, you can ask her. But on occasions, we are going to sleep, and then I just turn off the light and move really quickly to my bed because I don't want to, you know, hit anything. And then I don't hit anything. I don't hear Denise getting close to the bed. So I start thinking maybe something happened to her. I start calling her, Denise, Denise. And she doesn't answer. So maybe something happened. And she's moving really slow, you know, low her body under the bed. So I know she's coming for me, you know. And she had done this many times, and it's still like I continue getting afraid of the whole situation. So I started getting a little nervous, and I had besides my bed a flashlight. So I just get my flashlight and I start looking for her because I know if I don't turn on the flashlight, the next thing that I will hear from her is boo, you know, like, oh, and that's the most ugly part. You know, I get really afraid. I'm almost 50 years old, and I'm still getting scared of darkness. But as a child, it was a very intense experience. I remember I really disliked dark places. My dad used to send me to the backyard, go get me this tool, and it was 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, and we didn't have lighting in the backyard, and walking there, you start hearing things and seeing things that they are not there, because you are imagining things happening in your life. So when you come from a place when there's no light, you start appreciating lights. John chapter 1 presents Jesus as the light of this world. Let me open the Bible and read for you this well-known text that is presented here in the book of John. John chapter 1. Since verse 6, this is what the scripture is saying. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He's speaking of John the Baptist. This man came from to bear witness to the lie, that all through him might believe. He was not a lie, but he was sent to bear witness to that lie, that was the true lie which gives light to every man coming into the world. So John, the writer of the gospel, is telling you that Jesus is the light. And he is making a connection here between light and knowledge. Light, in the reference of the Gospels, is understanding knowledge of God. So the absence of lies is the absence of what? Knowing or knowledge of God. So living in absence of knowledge of God is living in what? It's living in darkness. And we find today that we live in a very dark world. In fact, when you are studying about the lie in relationship with the social events that they are happening in America today, it is very difficult to keep the positive and don't get into the negative. Because when you watch the news, you can slip really easy into the negative. This week, as you are aware, something happened right there in California, in that small city. Very strange situation, you know, and today, because communication, something happened, and all the channels of the news start giving you flash news, right? A massacre in San Bernardino, California. Okay, that caught my attention. What is that? No more information, no more news. So, okay, keep waiting. Later, it happens that during a Christmas party, some group of people, it seems like they enter with guns and start shooting and killing. So that made you more afraid. You know, what's going on? What is this? And then hours later, then they present that they encountered these people and now they are dead. Oh, what? That add more confusion to the whole situation. And then hours later, you discover that they have a baby, that they were coming here to the U.S. and they were somehow connected with this strange group of people that they want to harm Americans for no reason. So the whole thing is continue growing and growing. And for the following days, all what you see in the news is in reference to this event. And this event is, you know, feeding with fear, right? Because make people afraid, and you get stressed out, and then you are concerned, and then start asking yourself questions, can this happen in Aiken? You know, Aiken, this tiny town, this small community, something like that can happen here. And then the answer finally hits you. Yes, it can. It can happen here too. You know, because we are living in a place where it's no security. It doesn't matter where you go. It's always violence and people doing bad things. Then the second question that I was trying to answer is, why these things happen? Why people want to do these terrible things? And the more I was thinking about this, the less sense it made to me. It's no explanation for this, right? How you make sense of these terrible acts? You know, why somebody want to hurt somebody that you don't even know? Somebody that have done anything to you. Worse, go and hurt somebody in the name of God, thinking that you are helping God and doing a favor to God. It is crazy. Madness, and doesn't make sense. So why the gospel is not doing bigger influence and changes in people's life? That's a question that continues bothering me. So please go with me to Matthew chapter 5. I have read this passage in many occasions, and you probably too. But the other day, something here caught my attention too, in Matthew 5. This is the speech, the sermon that Jesus gave at the mountain. You remember after the Beatitudes, Jesus entered in verse 13 to describe to the people who was sitting in there in terms of symbols. He used two symbols. One was the salt, and the second symbol that Jesus used was, "You are the light," right? So let's read it together in verse 14. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." You know, and keep in mind that when Jesus was speaking, they didn't have electricity. So the only lighting that they have at the time was when these small oil lamps, and everything was difficult at the time, you know. If you were cooking and you had fire at home, you need to keep your fire 24 on because you don't have matches, and it's very difficult if the fire go off to start on. You know, they probably used rocks or some kind of different technique. So it will take a long time to start a fire, even when you had the right materials, right? Now, think about a lamp. You know, you have a small lamp, you want your lamp 24 too, because if you let your lamp go off, then it's difficult to bring another one on. It's not like we do it today, right? You move the switch and you get light or get the matches. It was more complicated at the time. But Jesus was telling them that at the time, if you are walking at night time because everything was dark, no electricity at all, if you see a small light in a hill, then you know, okay, that's the city. There's no way that you can cover that. So he started using this reference, and he continued moving on into the second part. "You are the light of the world. A city that is in a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under the basket or on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." No. Small houses, no windows at nighttime. That's the only source of light. So it's important to keep that light on. If you let it go off, then you are in darkness. No way to turn it on really easily. But the part who strikes me is that Jesus is saying that you are the light. Meaning you and me, the ones who are reading the gospel today. He didn't say, "I am the light," which will be like a more proper statement, you don't think? Because he had the authority and the knowledge and the relationship with the Father, and he can stay when all power, "I am really the light of this world." But he's transferred that to you and to me. How that made you feel? It's kind of a little challenging, right? Now, if you and I, we are the light of this world, what does that mean? What is Jesus trying to say today for you and for me? That you and I somehow have that knowledge, right? Some information about God that we need to tell others about that, right? That maybe because your life is a reflection of God's life, people will be paying attention more to you and to me, right? That people will be watching, even when you don't realize they are watching you, watching me. And that how that made you feel? Kind of like walking in eggshells, right? That you don't want to make a mistake because it's always somebody watching you. And in reality, it's always somebody watching you and watching me, right? So they are expecting you, you know, to behave. Now that I'm older and my kids are growing up, and still, you know, when we have conversations with Denise, some of our conversations, we want to have it completely private. We don't want our kids in there. Because I discuss some things with my wife that I won't discuss with anyone else. Even my kids, I don't want them to hear from me saying these things. And even some things, in occasions, I don't even mention to her. I just talk to God. Because I feel like if I mention these things to someone else, maybe I will do more harm, you know, create doubts and problems that maybe I will be able to move on but I don't know how the other people will react about these things. So it's a big responsibility when Jesus is placing in you, you are the light of this world and I am the light of this world. And doesn't make me feel comfortable, kind of like, to be honest. I don't want to be an example to others. But it's not a matter of the choice. It's just the fact that if you know about God, that makes you a witness right there. There's no way to escape that, you know, like always being a witness. You find that this interesting, especially at churches, when you are talking to the members and you ask somebody, can you please help us to do a sermon here at a church? No, that's not me. But the thing is, God is expecting us all to do something at church, correct? That's not always easy to find out what to do for God. The other passage that I think is interesting and is connected with the light, you find it in the book of Ephesians. Please go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, because the Bible is presenting there something that kind of reinforces the idea that we are talking here. Ephesians 5 is kind of like a series of advice to Christians in how to live and how to behave today in our society. And I want you to remember that you are in the year 2015, close to 2016. New century, right? Almost 2,000 years away from Jesus, from these events. And I want you to think about these words and see if any of these can help you or maybe can be a benefit to you. This is Paul speaking to the church and he's saying this to them. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So Paul is presenting God as the model for everybody, right, to follow. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. And as an offering and sacrifice to God of the sweet smelling aroma. But I want you to continue reading with me. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be me name among you as fitting for saints. What is Paul saying here? That some members of the church were having issues with fornication? Yes. And when greed and when other problems, yes, that's what he's saying. Some of the members of the church were struggling with these issues. Very bad things happen in the church. Things that we feel a little, to be honest, embarrassed to talk about. That we would prefer that they don't even are mentioned in the Bible, but they are here. Continue reading with me. Neither filthiness, nor foolishness talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, a clean person, nor covetous man, nor an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. I think the message is clear, right? Paul is saying to us today, these things happen and even happen at church. But don't be deceived. You know, eventually, if we partake of these things, we will be punished. We don't want to talk about these things. We want to pretend that everything is beautiful and glimmering and shining. But the reality is that we have dark spots. So the light will bring you some lessons. One of the things that you realize is that when the closer you get to the light, the more imperfections do you see. I remember I used to work doing drywall. And when you were doing drywall, and especially after the first finish and the coats, keep in mind that drywall is not made to be perfect. It's only an appearance of perfection. Just to deceive you, to make you feel comfortable enough. But if you grab a big lamp and place it in the right angle in front of the wall, you will see tons of imperfections in this drywall. The reason that you don't see it is because the light is not hitting the wall directly. And you look at the wall and you say, oh, it's really nice. It's nothing wrong here. But the moment you place the light, all these little details will start coming out. So during the work, after doing the finish of the drywall, that's how we used to do it. Getting a very powerful lamp, place it in the right angle in front of the wall, and then you are able to see all the little details that normally you won't see. One common mistake that people make when they are working in walls, especially when drywall, is that they don't sand properly the wall. And they think, after you paint it, everything will be covered and nobody will notice. That's a big mistake. Because what paint does, instead of covering the mistake, is making them coming up stronger. And if you like these kind of paints, that they are very shiny, they reflect the light better, the worse the defects are in the wall. So I want you to think about that as how the gospel is working in your life, and how the closer you get to Christ, the more things that you will discover in your life, right? After 25 years of being a Christian, you start feeling all excited and doing good. I conquered all these problems. Now I'm better. And then you get close to Christ and you see, I'm having issues in this aspect of my life. And problems that you thought that you conquered 20 years ago, they are coming back and stronger in different ways, kind of like creeping over you. So this light that is God working in your heart, it helps you to see who you really are. The closer you get to Christ, the more able you will to see these things in your life. Last sermon that I was here, you remember we were talking about the woman who offered the perfume to Jesus. And we were talking about Simon. You remember that? And how Simon was really harsh and critical of her and condemning her because she was a prostitute and everything. And that's a very sad attitude that Christians have. In fact, one of the reasons that people don't like to go to churches is because we are very critical of others. It's kind of like we tend to forget that we had issues too, right? And then we need to be balanced in that part. Because although God despised sin, he loved sinners. And in the same way, we should relate to others. Be patient and kind and compassionate when other people's and when other people's mistakes. But sadly, we can be very critical of others, right? It's easy to start judging everybody. Oh, look at sister such and such. She thinks that she's really good. But no, we know that she's this and this and this and this. It's because you are taking the lie that God had given you, and instead of applying it to yourself, you are applying it to what? To others. Good work. The only problem is that doesn't work that way. It should be applied to yourself first. And that's the challenging part, right? We want to think about ourselves as being perfect. Nothing wrong with me. Have you been in an argument with somebody and you are accusing this person or confronting this person with an issue and telling them why you feel this way, and out of the blue this person tells you, but you are this way, and you don't want to hear that part, right? That happens to me a lot. And then the wise wife that I have, she will tell me, oh, it's because you think that you are perfect. And it's true. I think that I am perfect. And that's a self-deception right there. That kind of like should help you to go back to the real level, right? So Paul is telling them, listen, all these things are happening in the church, but you are not expected to live that way. We should be better. We should be different. And continue reading. Because you were once in darkness, that's chapter 8. But now you are like in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So what is the invitation here? Yes, we used to be like that, but we need to start moving away from this behavior, these actions, and getting close to God. So the lie not only will help you to see your problems, the lie will guide you through the path. Are you ever trying to walk in a dark place? It is quite challenging. You know, especially in a house, in an apartment that you don't know where the things are, and you start walking in darkness, I assure you, you will hit things that you wish that you haven't. The other day, we were spending Thanksgiving with the family together, and even it wasn't even dark. It was like maybe 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we moved a table out of the way, a coffee table, because we want extra space to be able to eat together and everything, and put it in a corner. And I don't know what happened. I just carried my food, and I hit the table really, really, really hard with my knee. That everybody looked at me like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Continue limping there, you know. Very painful situation. So how is that in the middle of the day when sunlight, I wasn't able, I just forget that, that thing wasn't there. You know, very clumsy. Now, if you are in a dark place when there's nothing there that you don't see, I assure you, you can have an accident. So the light will guide you into the correct path, and it will help you to avoid these painful accidents. That's what the gospel is doing for you and for me. When God is inviting us to be wiser, to have a different life, it's because he's trying us to say, pain, right? Don't go through that route, because if you go through that route, you will encounter suffering and pain. And you know, a lot of people don't know about this. In fact, when you are talking to somebody today about God and Christ, they look at you like in a weird way. Like, it's like they are afraid of Christians, right? They don't want to see. It's like we are comfortable being in darkness. Well, it makes sense, right? How you feel if you are soundly asleep in your house and somebody come and turn on the light? How that make you feel? That will bother you? You see, Denise? That's why. I complain when somebody turn on the light because it wake me up. Some people can sleep through day. I am one of these persons who want to be in a dark place. Right? Very silent, because if you make noises, it will wake me up. But the lie, if you are in a dark place and somebody turns on the lie, what happened to you for the first few seconds? Disoriented, very good. Can you see? Do you enjoy the light? It's very uncomfortable. Your eyes are not adjusted to that. It bothers you. You don't like the experience. Especially if you have like a very intense light in your face, it will bother you. But if you stay there, eventually your eyes will, what happen with your eyes? Start getting adjusted, and then you will feel fine, right? So that's what happened to a lot of people today. They had so much time being in darkness that when they encounter light, it's not really pleasant. They don't feel comfortable. They want to be in the same way that they used to be. I remember talking to somebody many years ago, and the conversation was something like this. The person was complaining because now, as a Christian, they were having a lot of temptations and a lot of struggles. And this person was trying to tell me, Pastor, I wish my life was like a few months ago, that I didn't know anything about Jesus. I was really happy. And in reality, they were happy because they were ignorant, and they were happy in being ignorant. But now when you start discovering things about God and what God is expecting you to do, so that puts you in a conflict, in a situation that you need to choose in what direction you need to go. So that's what the situation for this person was. You know, like in the past, I didn't have these conflicts. Now I have this conflict between choosing between God and the other things that I need to do. And that happened to all of us in certain point of life, right? That's because you are encountering this light. So when you remember that, then you wouldn't understand that dealing with people that doesn't know about God, it will be the same way. They don't like that. They are happy the way they are. They don't want to change. And then along the way come you or me and start telling them about all the things that they are doing wrong. How do you think that they will react? Very uncomfortable. It's painful. But the light doesn't have any other choice, right? Only the shining. And that's our call, to present the message to others with kindness and love. But just do it. In the book, in one of the books of Max Lucado, I remember an illustration that I read many years ago, and it was in reference to some candles. And Max Lucado is explaining in this book that the candles were talking among themselves. And they were saying, well, I feel that my call is singing, one of the candles was saying. And the others were, well, let's go do singing. And other candle was in a different direction, doing a different kind of ministry. And every one of the single candles were talking, but none of the candles were mentioning anything about shining. So what is the main purpose of having a candle in your house? It should bring light, correct? So what is the point to have a church filled with Christians, full of Christians, you know, and if nobody wants to do the job that God has called us to do? And that's what we do today, right? We specialize in so many ministries and so many things. But the basic things that we should do, we don't do. Because we are the light of this world. And that's a challenging call for you and for me. So my prayer and call for you, dear brother and sister, is that somehow God bring some knowledge in you and give you some direction in what direction you should go and help in the church. Amen? I just want to finalize saying this. A lot of people during this season, they will do a lot of celebration because that's how they feel happy. But if you were in there before, then you realize that their happiness is just an empty shell. It's only about appearances of being happy. The drinking and the partying and the music and all this mingling, it's just a simple explanation of how empty we are. We are trying to fill our void somehow, right? With different things and different. And you notice this, if you had the opportunity to go to a secular party, you know, they invite you, just go and pay attention to how they are celebrating, how they are doing. It's like we never grow. We continue behaving the same way that we were teenagers, kind of like. The same emptiness in there. That kind of like struck me the other day. You know, like, we continue behaving the same way always unless something forces to change, right? So that's my prayer for you and for me. That God somehow help us to change and make a different choice. Amen? That this season, instead of, you know, spending time and gifts and resources and food, we remember that Jesus is the true light, and we should be reflecting that. May God bless you.